Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the craving of the wicked. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand. The hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. The rich man's wealth is his fortress. The ruin of the poor is their poverty. The wages of the righteous is life, the income of the wicked punishment. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. It is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. What a wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 10 is the beginning. It'll take us all the way to actually most of the rest of the Proverbs. And most scholars believe these are actually the Proverbs of Solomon, that actually we start here. And each proverb, not the chapter, but each verse is actually a thought on its own. So from now, from 10 to, I think it's 22 or 26 or so, it's going to lead us into this style. And so each one, it's basically a compare and contrast, and it's basically the righteous, or who Solomon will simply call the wise. So the wise equals righteousness. And then the other side of that is the unwise or the foolish, and that equals destruction. And so this is kind of the formula that is used. So if you're wise, that leads to blessing and righteousness. If you're unwise or foolish, that leads to destruction. And that's kind of the idea. And this is kind of going to be the rest of most of the Proverbs that we go through for a bit. And so we start here. It's the contrast of the righteous and the wicked, the Proverbs of Solomon. And it starts out, a wise son makes a father glad. Now, interesting enough, Solomon would have been a part of this. He made his father David glad, so much so that David actually chooses Solomon to be the king. Even though in age-wise, he's lower on the totem pole, but because of his son, he sought after knowledge and sought after wisdom, that please the father. And it says, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. That's interesting. So a wise son makes a father's heart glad, but a foolish son, right, is a grief to his mother. How is that kind of relate to each other? Interesting enough, Solomon, in this way, he could have said this, and it would have been right, because his foolishness happened after his mother died. And so in this way, Solomon still fulfills this part. But why is a foolish son a grief to his mother? And I think the reason why Solomon is writing this is because mothers with their children have more skin in the game, per se. Their identity is more rooted in the family and in child raising. And so as a result, I think women, mothers particularly, take it more personally. And so there's more emotions that are there. I think with dads, we just mostly just get disappointed. And that seems to be kind of the primary emotion that takes place. But, you know, mothers, it's very different. I know just in our family, when our kids, you know, when they were acting up in public, they didn't do it too many times, you know, thank God. But when they acted out in public, you know, we're like grocery store, you know, they want some cereal. We don't want to buy them the cereal. So they go through a full-on temper tantrum. You know, sometimes I think our kids, I think maybe did it once, but we've seen a lot of other kids do this. You know, they lie on the floor. Ah, you know, I'm not going to move until I get what I want. For me, I just walk away. And, you know, yeah, it's my child, but it's like it doesn't bother me. It doesn't really bother me what other people think because, you know, that's not your child. That's my child, right? And so you're a stranger. Who cares what you think? And so, but I know Lisa, my wife, is a little different, right? It's more personal for her. I mean, it's personal for me too, like, you know, don't get me wrong. But I think the emotions as a father and a mother are just different. And I think Solomon is just relaying kind of that difference that's there. And so he starts off, ill-gotten gains not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the craving of the wicked. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He who lacks, walks in integrity, walks securely. He who perverts his way will be found out. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool be ruined. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We'll stop there. And so basically, he's contrasting again the righteous and the wicked. There's so much security. There's so much blessing. There's so much of God's hand upon the person that operates in wisdom. In contrast, if you think about this, if you look at this, right? The unrighteous, guess what happens? Death, verse 2, verse 3, hunger, right? Verse 4, basically no productivity, right? Verse 5, shame. Verse 6, violence, right? Verse 7, your name will not be remembered. Verse 8, right, ruin. Verse 9, all your secrets will be found out. Verse 10, another ruin. Verse 11, violence. Verse 12, right, hatred. I mean, it's a pretty horrible list. If you think about this, and I know it seems so black and white, but that's his intent. Solomon is trying to prevent his men, his people, from walking in destruction, from walking in a way that really messes up. You know, I love verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Peter will use this later on in his letter, in his epistle. And he'll talk about love covers a multitude of sins. And it's a simple idea, but when we hold hatred in our heart, it brings unrest to us. It causes strife. And I don't know if you've ever had to deal with unforgiveness. You know, someone has hurt you, someone has harmed you, someone has done something to you. The reality is we forgive not because it lets the other person off. We forgive because it lets us off. Forgiveness is not for that person who's wronged you. Forgiveness is for us. Because what happens is it stirs up strife. I remember I was talking to a really close friend of mine who's a pastor. And we were talking. He was going through a really difficult season at his church. And some members of his church were causing a lot of problems. And he was just going through a really difficult time. And so I was ministering to him. And he had this epiphany, this moment, that kind of woke him up a little bit. And he's like tossing and turning all night long. He's like can't go to sleep. He's restless. He's angry. I don't know if you ever had one of these nights, but he's just so bothered by so many things. And then he finally got out of bed because he realized, oh my gosh, here I am. I'm like the victim. I'm the recipient of this evil that was done. And I'm tossing and turning. I can't go to sleep. I have no rest in my soul. And he says, and those guys that did this to me, they're sleeping really well tonight. You know, they're sleeping fine without any worry. And he realized, oh, forgiveness. It's not for them. It's for me. I need to forgive so I can let go. So there's not this strife that's inside of me. Right, but love covers all transgressions. It covers a multitude of sins. I like the way Peter says it. And that's what happens. And so forgiveness, right? Always remember, God, he's not the kind of supreme being that wants to add on to our sorrows. Because that's what we think about when we think about forgiveness. Oh, God, oh, you're making me do this. Oh, you want me... You're going to make me feel even more miserable than I feel already right now. But what God wants to do, he wants us to be free. And so he asks us to forgive. Okay, let's continue on. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. Right? Now, the rest of this is going to talk about our mouth. And the power of our voice in these things. And so, and then 14, right? Wise men serve knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. And how many times foolishness starts with something that we say? Isn't that the case? I mean, most like arguments you get with friends or, you know, with your spouse is because you said something you shouldn't have said. And so we see the power of our tongues. Then we have a little interlude here. The rich man's wealth is his fortress. The ruin of the poor is their poverty. The wages of the righteous is life. The income of the wicked, punishment. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who speaks slander is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is avoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of understanding. And then 22, it is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And so in this little part here, we see both things happening together. We see on one part, he's talking about now wealth. He's talking about possessions and these type of things. Interlaced with that, he's talking about our tongues again. And it would seem that it's a bit out of order. It would be nice if Solomon just kind of placed these things in order, but that wasn't Solomon's intent. His intent was to speak words of wisdom. And so, like I said in the beginning, each proverb in of itself is kind of its own chapter. And so there's no form to what he's saying here. But I like this verse 22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. It's like, think about this. It's the blessing of the Lord that gives abundance, and then the blessing on top of that is that it doesn't come with any sorrows. Now, it's interesting. People that are poor probably will not understand this. But with wealth comes a lot of responsibility. With wealth comes a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache, because one of the things you have to deal with wealth is the spirit of mammon. Now, clearly, with poverty, you also have to deal with mammon, but it operates in a different way. And so you have to be very careful. And he says that this is God's blessing. He increases wealth, but the blessing on top of that, he adds no sorrow to it. It's something that, in this way, it's wealth that could be enjoyed. And it's wealth that's not flamboyant, but it's something that could be enjoyed. You know, I know young men. I had one young man. He was one of my worship leaders when I was the campus pastor at Vanguard. A really great guy. I mean, just really, I would say a man of God, you know, even at his young age. But his dad was really, really wealthy. His dad was actually the top plastic surgeon in Orange County. So, I mean, you can imagine, right? And he himself, even though he was like a sophomore in college, you know, had a few properties. He owned some land, you know, right in prime, like Huntington Beach, you know, right by the water, by the ocean. But he was always bothered by his wealth. And he seemed to be very uneasy, right? Always unease about his wealth, and almost embarrassed in many ways. And so we kind of had to, you know, as I was discipling him, kind of had to walk him through, you know, a lot of this in his life. And this is very common that when people, you know, try to be godly. And then they can't enjoy their wealth at all, you know, because there's something there. But this is the proverb of the Lord. It is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. You can enjoy it, and it doesn't ruin you. This is the key. You can enjoy it, but it doesn't ruin you. It's important because it has the power. I had a mentor in Southern California. You know, I used to go with my wife and see him in the summers. I see him during the. He's a very, very wealthy man. At one point, he used to own the largest helicopter company in California. And so he says, and he's a very devout believer. And so he got so used to it, he stopped driving. And he would basically helicopter from one place to the next place. And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to him and says, "Hey, hey, 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 be very careful." And then he realized the privilege of wealth and all these things kind of really got to his head, you know. And he basically stopped, you know, the helicopter. I think he eventually sold the company, you know, and he went back to driving, you know, once again. I know, it's a first world problems, right? And things, but it's part of it, you know, that hey, this also wealth could also be a trap. Right, it can make you feel very entitled. It can make you feel very proud, and so you have to really be careful about the traps of it. But this is the blessing of the Lord. He adds no sorrow to it. There's something that's there. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy one to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous will bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. So we have at the end, going back to the mouth, but in the middle of that, we have this contrast about life and fullness of life, the quality of life, and all these things that are made available to those who seek after wisdom. And so I think it's a good idea for us as the people of God to seek after wisdom. And when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about God's way of life. Wisdom, simply put, is God's way, right? And wisdom for us is the skill of living life in God's way. Contrast to foolishness, which is the devil's way or the way of the world, is how it's laid out. Okay, so let's close our eyes. There's so much in this passage. We could talk about forgiveness. We could talk about our mouths, our lips, the damage it could do, or also the blessing that can come out of it. But I want to go back to that first verse. A wise son makes a father's heart glad. Ultimately, the purpose of walking in wisdom is not so we could have a prosperous life. I think that's a byproduct. The purpose of walking in God's ways is it makes God happy. It touches the Father's heart. That should be our motivation. Our motivation is, I want to please God. Paul says in Ephesians, try and learn what is pleasing to the Lord. What pleases the Lord is obedience. What pleases the Lord is submission to Him. What pleases the Lord is following after Him. What pleases Him is making Him first, the only. And so we pursue wisdom because it pleases the Father. And so let's pray for that motivation in our lives. Not so that we can get all these benefits, but because it pleases God. And that's worthy of it all. We can't find our worship leader this morning, and so we're just going to play something on Spotify for us. But during the worship time, if I can encourage you, just to ask, Lord, I want that to be my motivation. I don't want to focus on the benefits. I want to focus on pleasing God. And then, crazy thing is, all the benefits will come. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.